I'm not ready for a relationship.
I just want to be friends.
Listen, it's not you, it's me.
It doesn't feel like it used to.
I do all the work in this relationship.
Is there someone else?
I feel like you don't listen.
This is moving too fast.
We need to talk.
You always say that.
I need to work on me right now.
You've changed.
We need a break.
Today we're going to talk about true romance, because everybody goes through this DTR moment, right? And today is going to be kind of aiming towards that. I'm going to get married someday. I want to get married someday. I really want romance. And we're going to go through this whole series. We're going to kind of hit all different parts of the romantic relationship. Today we're going to look at this front end part. We're going to really talk about what it means to DTR and what true romance really, really looks like. I was working out with some friends and we turned on iTunes Radio. So I just got to say iTunes Radio. This isn't on my playlist. Okay, this song is not on my playlist, but on iTunes Radio, Derulo came on. And I was just like, oh, this song. This is the song. Because I mean, like, all the girls right now, your heart's coming alive. Sing it, come on. You know it. You know why? When you girls and even guys, like, if you're like on the road to romance, like, you like are feeling this song because you're just like, that's the way I'm going to propose. I'm just going to turn Derulo on and just let Derulo take me there. And everybody wants romance. Like, everybody wants this, like, this relationship that's not just a relationship. It's like romantic. It's like real. It's like, oh my goodness. It's like, you know, like knees shaking, just, oh, I want to be with her, I want to be with him. And when you're there and you're married, you're years, you still want to have romantic date nights, you want the twinkle in the eye, you want all that stuff. So everybody just say, I want romance. Say, oh, see, some girls, I mean, this is just right at the girls. I want romance. Is it Jason Derulo? Derulo, you can talk to me, Derulo. You can ask me to marry you, Derulo. All you girls, like, doing your hair in the morning, just, Derulo, will you marry me? Yes, I will. I will marry you. I got the answer to your question, Jason Derulo, baby. Everybody wants romance, right? You want a relationship that's fun. You want a relationship that has the kind of intimacy. You want that. You want that thing that in your heart, that person to take care of you, that person for you to take care of. Sometimes it's difficult because on this journey to find romance, it's just challenging. You're going, how do I find it? Sometimes people get to the point in their relational life, like kind of dating, spending time, friendship, match.com. Whatever you're doing to kind of put it all together, and you can get to this place of hopelessness, right? Where you go, oh, is it going to happen for me? Where is he? Where is she? I tried. It's not working. You might ask yourself the question, does God want me to have romance? Like, does God want me to have a partner? Does God want me to have relationship? Does he actually have that for me? In Scripture, it says hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. Some of you are sick. You're love sick. You just want that. Some of us are in marriages right now where you're going, I thought and it's not. I thought and it's not. I think if you hang in for this whole series, 4 weeks, you're going to be able to grab some stuff to put kind of in the walls of the house that you live in your marriage, if you will, to change the way it feels and change the way it is. You see, God wants you to have a relationship. He wants you to have companionship. When God created this world, he started out and he created a man. And then he created all these animals as well. And Adam saw, the first man, he saw all these animals and they had like partners. And he was like, there's not a partner for me. Where's mine? And in Genesis, what actually we see is that God looked at Adam and he said the same thing. He goes, then the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. So even God says, you know what? Like, you are supposed to have a relationship with God. Every single person, God wants a relationship with you. And in this amazing journey that we all live in on planet Earth, you get to choose to have a relationship with God. He's not going to force one on you. But the design that he created was that you would have a relationship with him and companionship and love and romance. He says, it's not good for man to be alone. I'm going to make you someone. So you're supposed to be with me, but the whole complete thing is not done until you actually have that relationship. You have that romance. You have that help. You have that. And so in the design, God said, there's a God-shaped hole, and maybe you've heard there's a God-shaped hole, but there's also a relationship one where you go, it doesn't get filled. So that hopelessness, that void that you're feeling, that's real. It's very real. God wants you to find romance. God wants you to find companionship. And what's really fun is that God doesn't want to just like you to find it. He has like a better way. He has like a optimal relational grid. He has something really special for you. I was at a wedding last night. I did a wedding last night. Beautiful wedding. Everybody still came. It was at a Pinnacle in Grove City. They have this beautiful backdrop where this ballroom is, and the snow had fallen, and the colors fit the snow, and this white dress and this white snow and all these family members, and this love was in the air, you know? God wants that for you. You have that picture in your head, especially if you're the girl. You have that picture in your head. You walk down the aisle, the man of your dreams. Guys, you're thinking about that. You want that. You want her. You want her to walk down towards you. You want to say your vows. You want to say them. You want to love one another. And so this, we're going to look at this. And what we're going to do is throughout the next 4 weeks, I'm going to use this house over here as a kind of a model. Even though it is a model house, it's going to be a model for what relationships should look like and how they should be built and how they should kind of flow together. And so you're going to be able to think about relationships in terms of a house after this series is over from now on. You're going to be able to think about relationships in terms of what a house is like and how it's set up and how it's designed. And in the way that a house is built and designed, you're going to find some triggers and some keys for true romance. Here's something that you need to know. This is the big idea for all of romance. Check this out. True romance has clear boundaries. It has true friendship. It has relational intimacy and physical intimacy. What I'm going to do is I'm going to show you how you have to start out with boundaries. You got to have boundaries in your relational and your physical interactions. You got to have them. And then you move into true friendship, and that's developed in the foyer and in the family room. True friendship, real time together. And then you move to the kitchen where you have intimacy, face-to-face, relational, dating, courting. And then you move to the bedroom, and you experience physical intimacy in the context of this sequence. And without boundaries and without understanding friendship and without understanding intimacy in the kitchen, and understanding where physical intimacy lives, so many of us, we just literally blow down the doors, we open up the front, no boundaries, open up the front door, skip the family room, skip the kitchen, and say, let's just go upstairs, baby, and work out the bedroom. And some of you have been tricked into thinking that you are going to learn what a relationship should be like in the bedroom. And what happens is, if you're like me, you get married, you've been married for 10 years, and you realize that healthy relationships have boundaries, they have friendship, they have relational intimacy and physical intimacy, and you spend about 5% of your relationship in the bedroom. And you spend a lot of time at dinner, you spend a lot of time in the family room. You spend a lot of time making sure you know who you are and what your boundaries are, even in the context of a marriage. If you believe that you need to figure the bedroom out to have a great relationship, you have been lied to. You got to have boundaries. You got to develop the boundaries. You got to develop friendship. You got to develop relational intimacy, and then comes physical intimacy. Some of you are just going, you know what? I'm just going to like do this thing. I'm just going to go. I'm just going to explore. I'm just going to have, come on, baby. Come on up to the bedroom and we'll see how it works. You see, you got to have boundaries. You need to have, I just got to tell you the why. You've got to have physical and relational boundaries. We have to be a group of people if we say we love Jesus, or even if we just want to have great relationships and the Jesus thing is going kind of over on the side. We got to believe that you're supposed to have some boundaries. And see, what happens is so many of us don't believe in boundaries. We believe in the opposite. We believe in exploration. Some of you believe that the way that you're going to have the great relationship, the true romance, the house, the marriage, the kids, the yard, the everything you want, the love, you think that you're going to find it by knocking the fences down and just going and exploring. Just explore. I got to go see what they're like, and I got to go see what they're like, and I'm just going to have no boundaries relationally, emotionally, physically. I'm just going to go and just vet it all out. And then one day I'll put my boundaries up and I'll have my house and I'll have my romance and I'll have my experience and it'll all come together. Meanwhile, it's built on the backbone of exploration. And in exploration, you find out what everyone else is like, but you lose yourself. You see, a lot of times we buy into the test drive lie. We think, I got to go, you know, I got to sleep with him. I got to know what it's like. If I'm going to have sex with him, I'm going to sleep with him for the rest of my life. You know, I had a friend in college that said, you got to sleep around. You absolutely have to sleep around. You have to figure out if you're anatomically compatible. Sounds like college, doesn't it? That's a lie. That's not the way that God designed it. You got to have boundaries. Can I just sell it to you just from my heart? You got to know who you are, who you're not. You got to know your value. You got to learn to say no. You got to do all these things we're going to talk about today. You got to have boundaries. And the two reasons that you have boundaries are the same reasons you have boundaries at your house. Same reasons. The first one is for protection. You have got to put up physical and relational boundaries to keep the bad out. There is bad. There is bad out there. And when you go on the exploration test drive, you are knocking down the boundaries and you are letting the bad in. Guys and girls both do this. Let it in. You don't do that at your house. You say, this is my property line. Get off my property. I'm trying to keep the bad out. I got the doors locked. Got the windows shut. Sometimes we think we just are supposed to let everybody in our world. They walk all over it. You need boundaries just the same way you do. You keep your house and your home protected. You need to keep who you are protected. Another reason to have boundaries, same reason you have, is to produce, to keep the good in. You're special. You're unique. You're beautiful. Guys, girls, you have something amazing about you. You're just going to have no boundaries and just let people come and trample all over that. And God is trying to grow something in the yard. He's trying to develop this thing in your life. And you're just going to have no boundaries. And you're going to let that stuff be susceptible to that. And you're going to not have this kind of exclusivity around how wonderful you are. And just spread it all over the place. And it loses its meaning when you give a little piece of yourself to everybody. You see, we're supposed to have boundaries. We're supposed to be the kind of people that stand and say, I know this, I know this, I got it, this is who I am, here's where I don't cross the line, I got my line, don't cross it, No. I have a journey here I'm on, I got something special waiting for me, and I have boundaries, and I'm building this life, I'm doing this thing, I'm doing it God's way. It's tough to figure out boundaries in terms of God's way, isn't it? Everybody asks the question, you know, physically, how far is too far? Relationally, how much should I share? When should I say I love you? When should I get married? How do I figure out what kind of boundaries am I supposed to have? Greatest story I know in Scripture about boundaries is in the book of Daniel. And real briefly, I mean, this is an amazing passage, and this has so many different principles to it and so many different life lessons in the book of Daniel. But the one we're going to look at is how Daniel had boundaries. He had really strong boundaries. And we're going to learn some things from Daniel so that you can have boundaries too. Daniel is an Israelite. At a certain point in their history, this huge empire of the Babylonians came over and basically destroyed Israel, and they grabbed all these people and they dragged them away. They dragged them into Babylon. And they took all different kinds of people, slaves, young, children, all that. And they also, when they get all the guys that were the leaders of the leaders, they were the smart ones, they were the good-looking ones, they were the strong ones, they were kind of a step above, they were looked at as the future leadership. And the Israelites brought these men, and Daniel happened to be one of these men and some other men into their world, and they said, we want you guys to kind of continue to be the leaders that you are over here, but we're going to kind of teach you how to do leadership and figure out our culture and lead us, and we want you to become one of us. And so they went in there and they actually said, your name's going to change. They changed their names. And they lived in different places and they were different people and everything. And they had them doing all different kinds of things to try to change them and make them who they were. And a lot of it was out of their control. But you find something really, really special in how Daniel, he has some boundaries that he sets up when they come to him and they say, you need to eat the food that we eat. You need to eat the food that the Babylonians eat. And for Daniel, that hit a hot button. And when it hit the hot button, we get to see that Daniel had some really strong boundaries, and we learn a lot from his boundaries. Let's look at this in Daniel chapter 8. When they said, eat this food. It says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. He said, no, I am not going to eat that food. You know, one of the reasons, if not the key reason, that Daniel was able to say no is Daniel knew what he was all about. Just because he was in a different context, just because he was under different pressures, just because he had his name changed, it didn't really change who he was. Geography, pressure, temptation didn't change who he was. And when it got to food, it was a big deal. And here's the deal with boundaries. And this is a journey that you have to go on, because Daniel said, I'm not going to defile myself by eating this food. That's a boundary that I am not going to let you cross, and I'm not going to give way on. No way. And it's not just because he said, I have some rules in my life. I have some ideas. It's because he knew what he was all about. And here's the key to boundaries. Here's the key to living this thing out, to saying, I know this, I know that. Having boundaries is about knowing what you're all about. You see, essentially, for you to have boundaries, you have to go on a journey and figure out who you are. I know this sounds silly, right? But you really need to figure it out. When I talk to 16, 17, 18-year-olds, even those in their 20s, what am I going to do with my life? It really kind of all shuffles down into, who am I? What's my purpose in life? You have to start as early as you can figuring out who you really are. Having boundaries is about learning what you're all about. You see, it was easy for Daniel because he came from a certain culture. He was one of the leaders. He knew the culture. He knew right. He knew wrong. He knew God. He had his way. He knew what he had eaten. He had been trained in what he was supposed to eat. And he just knew, no. I'm an Israelite. This is not what I do. I don't eat that food. I don't do that. I don't say that. That's not what I'm going to be. And I'll even put you to the test. Go ahead. Tell your leader to, you know, give me my food for 10 days and you have them and see who's better, because I know who I am. You see, when you don't know who you are, in terms of relationship, you go on an exploration journey. You try to figure it out by being with everybody and giving a piece of yourself away, being too physical, not having relational boundaries, not having emotional boundaries, just kind of, this is me. Daniel had boundaries. He knew what he was all about. If you know what you're all about, whether your boundaries are good or not, you have them. You have them. You have to go on a journey to figure it out. So here's like the three big ideas for Daniel, right? Here's what he knew, and here's what I want to ask you guys to go on a journey with me for this day, just for boundaries. Having boundaries means you know who you are. Do you know who you are? You see, I can say, do you know what your value is? Or do you know how important you are? And see, I can tell you that, like, it says in Scripture, in Genesis, that you were created in the image of God, okay? That you're special. And I can tell you that Scripture, it leads us to see that every single person is individually special, unique, and has special gifts and talents. I can tell you that that's true, but I can't tell you the answer to those questions. You have to tell me what they are. You have to tell me, I know that God loves me. I know I'm created in God's image. I know that I'm valuable, and here's what I'm about. Do you know what you're about? Have you ever, like, stopped and said, I got to figure out what I'm about? Who am I really? One way to kind of do this, just to give you a little, because you got to start a journey, is you need to use your phone. You need to use your phone, and you need to start taking notes. And this is so simple. But anytime you come across something that you like, so you're in college, you're in high school, and this is not the stuff that, like, you're like, that sounds like that's probably not a good thing to like, because some of us like things we're not supposed to like. But let's just say that there's some things that we enjoy in life, really, really enjoy. Don't look for a role. Don't look for, like, what job you're supposed to do. Figure out what you're like. You see, taking notes on what you like will teach you what you're like. You need to, every single time you do something that you enjoy, you need to take out your phone and go, I love baking. I love baking. And so a lot of times when people say, who are you? What do you do? It's all about role. It's like, I'm a cook. I'm a chef. I'm a lawyer. I'm a wife. I'm a father. No. When you start to really figure out who you are, it's what do you like? What are you good at? What do you do? What's the verb, not the noun? I love to bake. You see, when I know someone that says, I love to bake versus I'm a chef, when I hear I'm a chef, I hear they have a job to do. I worked at restaurants growing up. They got the hat on. They got the coat on. They come in. They have to be there at 5 a.m. They're mixing up the beef and the whatever, and they're doing all the work. They're chefing it up. But when I hear somebody say, I love baking, I go, ooh, I know something about that person. That's who that person is. This is what they do. This is what they love to do. You have to go on a journey. You see, having boundaries is all about knowing what you're all about. You need to make a list in your phone if you have questions about who you are, because who you are will determine what kind of boundaries you have. Do you see how this is just like an explosive, huge idea? When you really figure out what you love, it determines where you spend your time. It determines who you spend your time with. And you go, this is what I'm all about. Boundaries just start to get set up in your life. And if you kind of have this kind of ethereal, kind of cloud idea of a general direction, the boundaries just kind of slowly fade away and you move into all and any territory. You have got to go on a journey figuring out what you like. I can't tell you what it is. You have to figure it out. Daniel knew who he was. Eat this food. No. It's not that I don't want to eat that food because it has fat in it. It's not I want to eat that food because it comes from a different region. It's cold, it's hot. No. That's not what I do. I don't eat food that's sacrificed to foreign idols. I don't do that. That's not what I do. I do not eat food that still has the blood in it. That's my heritage. I know who I am. That's not what I am. That's not who I am. Boundaries. Who are you? Here's another thing we see from Daniel, so amazing. Having boundaries means you define what you value. You define what you value. What do you value? Like, what do you say is really important? So first is finding out, like, kind of what you like to do. And then you go, what is really important to me? You see, when you start to figure out what's really important, boundaries pop up. That's not important. That's outside. This is important. That's inside. Here's one way to kind of figure out what you value. This is just something to think about. Who do you worship? Who do you worship? So worship a lot of times gets built into this Christian church Sunday morning. Who do you worship? Well, we raise our hands, we sing the song, da 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 da. Essentially, who you worship is who you spend your time thinking about and having be the core motivation behind every decision that you make. That's really who you worship. It's really like this transformed mind that plays out every single day, every minute. And then you take the decisions and the thought behind every decision, and you figure out if who the who is behind those, and who the who is behind every decision every single day is really who you worship. It's like who you live your life after. And so, who do you worship? You can figure out who you value, what you value. You know, if you sit here today, and this is my hope, but this isn't everybody. If you're in here and you go, man, I worship Jesus. I really love Jesus. Then you are going to see boundaries start to pop. You see, Daniel knew who he worshiped. And part of eating was not just what you do, it's who you worship. And they said, we want you to do all this other stuff. And he's going, no. I know this may not make sense to you. Because you guys eat that kind of food. You eat the food with blood still in it. You eat the food sacrificed to your foreign gods. That's what you do. I get that that's what you do. But I know who I worship. I worship the God of Abraham. And what he says determines where I go. And see, a lot of times we think, you look at these passages, you go, this has nothing to do. This is all about boundaries. This is all about, no. I value God. I value Jesus. I want to follow him. You see, when you truly know who you are, what you like, what you don't like, and when you truly figure out who you're going to worship, now you're starting to really build some clear definition. Who's allowed in this territory? Who's not? What's going to protect what I value and who I am? What's going to help me produce what I value and who I am? And I'm going to keep anything that doesn't away. Another thing about value, and we have to go right to this, is sexual. Sexual consumption. What you have to do is not just kind of look at what you value. You got to move into the physical for a minute here. And you have got to ask yourself, what is the driving piece of information? What revelation, what belief system drives what you think about sex? We have all these different ideas. Sex is to make me feel good. Sex is, you know, something that everyone should explore but each other. Whatever it is, you have all these ideas. You see, Scripture says that sex is supposed to be between a man and a woman. So if you go, what do I value? And you say, I value God, I value his word, I value him. Then you got to look at sex and go, okay, what God says is important now becomes important to me. And when God says sex is between a man and a woman that is married in the context of marriage, which is what Scripture teaches, you may not value that. You have to figure out what you value. That's the point. Okay, God says this is how it works. Now, this is how I work. So I'm going to build some boundaries around these values. Does it make sense? Who are you? Build some boundaries. What do you value? Build some boundaries. It starts to add up. Who am I really? What do I like? What don't I like? Who do I worship? What do I think about sex? All of these things are going to start to build boundaries in terms of true romance. Here's another one that Daniel did. This is huge. Having boundaries means you learn to say no. You have got to. Not just know who you are, not just know what you value, but you have got to get some toughness. You have got to say no. You're going to have pressure, you're going to have temptation, and you are going to want to move down a path so much faster than you should. And if you know who you are and you know what you value, it's going to be a lot easier to say no. So many people ask me this question, you know, how far is too far? When should I say no? When should I not? Look, this is such a silly question. Here's the deal. You need to err on the side of rigid. What we see with Daniel, I know everyone's going, is it or is it error? We looked it up. It's E-R-R, okay? Just relax. Err on the side of rigid. You need to err on the side of rigid. You need to say, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. Daniel goes, No. Come on, dude, they changed our name. Come on, dude, we're here. Like, we're going to live here. Like, we got the inside track. We're going to be like one of the best guys. No. I'm sorry. They did some things that was outside of my control, but this is in my control. I'm not going to let them feed me that stuff. And they're like, dude, Daniel, come on, man. You got to just you're being too rigid. No, 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 no. You know why? Because I know who I am, and I know what I value, and I am saying no. And when you know who you are and you know what you value, you are going to have things come at you. You're going to have this stuff happen. And you have to make the decision before to say no. And I've talked about this in the past. This isn't just something you just say no. You move all the way up to the line and then you say no. If you move all the way up to the line, you're probably too close. And temptation can drag you over the fence. For temptation defense, you got to build a fence and you got to stay away from that fence. But you have got to get to the point where you say no. You see, I want you to think about saying no, being rigid, and having boundaries in terms of saying no the same way that you would with your house. You have your house, you put a fence up in your yard, right? Someone comes along, stands on the outside of your fence and says, hey, you know, I would like to move your fence, your property line, just like 10 feet back because I'd like to like put a little nice little garden right here. Oh, okay, all right, well, I'll just call the contract guy and we'll have the fence moved. We spent $10,000 to get it poured and put in there, but we'll just go ahead and have it moved for you. Nobody does that. We don't do that in terms of our actual property lines, but we do it in terms of relational and physical intimacy all the time. Just because somebody comes up to your property line and says, I want in, that does not mean that you should let them. Listen, pressure should not move your property line. Woo! Don't let it. Know who you are. Define what you value. Say no, say no, say no. The powerful thing about saying no, learning to say no, makes your yes more meaningful. The community pastor at our church, Dave Flatung, and his wife, Lauren, have been married 2 years this January. I had the privilege of marrying them. I got to see their life kind of close up. You know, I got to see her family and his family. Dave got married when he was close to 30 years old. I met Dave 6 years ago when he was a barista at Starbucks. And Dave was special. And you know what's so cool about Dave? He knew who he was, man. He knew, I love God. I love frothing milk. He knew that's what he loved. You know, Dave's just a genius. He had like this informatics degree from IU. He just knew, I love computer. He knew who he was. He knew what he loved. He knew what he didn't love. He knew what he valued. One of the things that he was so stingy about was finding the right person. And I watched him go through relationship after relationship. There's a couple girls. I was like, dude, man, she's cute. She's nice. She's da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And pressure and all the different things. And several times he would end these relationships. End these relationships. And we would sit. I remember sitting when he wasn't working. We would still meet where he worked. And we would sit at Starbucks and he would say, dude, she didn't value the same things. That's not who I am. She liked that and that's not what I liked. And we didn't value the same things. And there was a couple times where Dave would tell me, like, dude, she was, like, pushing the limit. Like, she wanted to, like, be more physical. And I had to say no, and now we can't be together. Dave knew who he was. He had defined what he valued. And I just watched him say no over and over again. And then he met Lauren. And he had this amazing deal set up where he's like, I know who I am, so I'm going to find somebody else who knows who they are. And I know what I value. So I'm going to define what I value, and I'm going to look for someone that's not the same as me. They can like different things, but they know who they are. You know what this really is? Maturity. I know who I am. I know what I like. I know what I don't like. Over here, you know what? I know what I value. And when you're moving into a relationship, you need to value the same things. You need to have 90% of the same values. We worship the same God. It doesn't matter which one it is. I mean, honestly, no matter who you worship, if you don't worship the same God, you're in trouble. You come together and say, I worship Jesus. Man, I worship Jesus too. This is what I value. This is what's important to me. I'm so glad it's important to you. And then they spent this shorter amount of time kind of dating, and they said no, and they kept their boundaries because they had practiced keeping boundaries the whole time. And then they got married. And Dave would have never landed a girl like Lauren had he not known who he was at his values and said no. It's a beautiful picture. It's tough sometimes to be patient, but it's more important to go on this journey so you know who you are, you know what you value, and you move in this direction, isn't it? Don't you want that? Ask the question, who are you? What do you really like? Who and what do you value? Do you really know? Have you written it down? Have you taken some time to write it out, to think it out, to talk it out? What or who do you need to say no to? Some of you right now, you just have let the pressure move the boundaries. You're losing a part of yourself. You're believing in exploration. You're believing in the test drive lie. God says, come on, come on. Know who you are. Define what you value. Say no, say no, say no. I want you to just do them just for a second. I just want you to dream. I just want you, especially, you know, college kids and high school kids, what is that? What is it that you want? You know, you got this dream, this relationship, this person. I just want you to think of all the things, the family trips, the blessings of children, the jobs, working together, the buying a house, the date night where there's still energy and there's still love and there's still romance and there's still just something electric between the two of you. I love going to dinner and seeing people that I can tell are 10, 15 years older than me, and they sit there, and I can tell they've been married for a long time, and he just has this lightness on his face, and she's just engaging, and the conversation is real. And maybe that's not romance, but maybe it is. Maybe it is. And I'm telling you that that dream, that idea, that hope that's in your heart right now, if you don't have boundaries, you won't wake up to it. It takes a lot of retrofitting and fixing and changing and defining. And so many of us want to get married, or we think we need to get married and that will solve and we'll find out who we are. If you can do some of this before you bring in a more complete person to the relationship, somebody that has more defined, so the two of you can ride off into the sunset. Having boundaries is about knowing what you're all about. Who are you? What do you value? Who are you? What do you value? And say no. Let's pray. God, Daniel shows us this amazing heart, this foundation, this anchor. He knew who he was. He knew what he valued. And he said no. And God, we all want this romantic relationship. We want it to be special. God, please help us to take the time and the patience to do the investment on the front end so that we can experience what you want us to experience. It's not good for us to be alone. You want a relationship with us. You want us to have a relationship that's romantic. God, right now there's people in here that are just going, oh, I wish I heard this. I wish I knew this. I'm right in the middle of this. God, please give them peace in their heart right now as they're just going, they think maybe they failed. Nothing is ever too late. You can start over. You can start over. God, teach that in their heart. They can start over. They can start tomorrow. They can start right after church. They can start doing it differently. They can start thinking differently. They can go on a journey. They can figure out what they're all about and build the boundaries that represent that. Give them the strength to do that. Help them, the enemy, as he's saying, you're done, you're a failure, you're worthless. Help those lies to be wiped away by the truth that God loves them right where they are, right for who they are, and he loves them so much he wants to build them up into the kind of people that represent you to the world. That's still your plan, God. Please free some hearts right now. Free some minds. Give some people some steps to take this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, real quick, we are so excited about this DTR relationship series that we want to invite every different age group to an exclusive night. These are young adult men's and women's events. And so you're going to just hear about this for the next couple weeks. But on Sunday, February 23rd, we're going to have an exclusive young adult event. And then on February 28th, which is a Friday night, we are going to have a men-only event. And then we are going to have a women-only that Saturday night. They're all at 7 p.m. They're all $5. You're going to hear different leaders from our church speak. My wife and I are going to speak. Katie's going to speak at the women's one. Dave and Lauren are going to share. I mean, it's going to be a great time. We're going to unpack relationship. We're going to unpack DTR the best that we can. And so you're going to be able to buy tickets next week so we can figure out how many people are going to be there. You do not want to miss this thing. These are great events designed just for you. We're going to have a process where you can ask questions and tweet and everything in so we can put the stuff that's really important to you guys right in front of you. So look more for this. It's coming up soon.